and learn from him. And that's very, very important that you can learn from him. Of course, we're going to be talking, well, you don't know, of course, but I'm going to be talking about Judas Iscariot today. And again, not the most popular guy in the Bible, is he?
No, he's not.
When I was in grade school, I had this teacher. And back in the day, when I was going to school, we would open in prayer. We actually said prayer in the public school. Teacher would lead us in prayer. I think in second grade when they stopped that, and most of the students got upset with that. We were hurt. We wanted to have the school open in prayer. Teacher said she couldn't do it any longer. And but they would still, they would talk about the Bible occasionally. It would be interspersed, and a lot of things were taught. And I remember one teacher in particular, and she was saying, I wonder why Good Friday is called Good Friday, because Jesus died on that day. You know, of course, for us who are saved, it makes perfect sense. Folks, it's a good thing that Jesus died on the cross for us. If he wouldn't have died on the cross, we would be lost. Now, he had to die. He also had to raise. And fortunately, he did both. Amen? He died. He rose again on the third day. And so that is a good thing for us. The instrument that sent him to the cross, the Jews, part of that was Judas Iscariot, a disciple of our Lord. Now, I've got a lot to answer to God for in eternity, and I'm sure we all do. But I don't have to answer for being a betrayer of God. And can you imagine Judas Iscariot standing before Jesus in eternity? We don't have to worry about that. But there are some character traits, I believe, of Judas Iscariot that led him to become the betrayer of our Lord. And those we need to look at, because we are capable. I can't turn Jesus over to the Jews to be hung on a cross again. He died one time, amen? Never going to die again. All right, praise the Lord for that. So I cannot do that. But I can do some of the other things that he did if I'm not careful. And so that's why I want to look at him today. This is a preventive lesson, hopefully. And so that being said, if you would turn to Matthew. It's good to have the teenagers in here today. I didn't know I was going to have the middlers in here. I was probably told, but as you know, I forget everything. So I don't have anything for you. You just have to pay attention, all right? And hopefully you can learn something from this. And Matthew chapter 10 and what is it? Verse 2, Matthew 10:2. Yeah, we'll read this and we'll have a word of prayer. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Okay? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for the group assembled this day. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to help your people. And Father, help us to see ourselves in this lesson, and Lord, to recognize maybe some faults within ourselves that need to be corrected. And Lord, maybe we could maybe we even see some positive attributes of ours that we need to reinforce and build upon. Most of all, Lord, I pray that Jesus would be glorified in the giving of this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so Judas Iscariot. Some people have this opinion of Judas. And logically, there can only be so many opinions of him. One was that he was basically a good man, a moral man, just like everybody in this room, okay? Lost, but, a good man. You know, the guy, the neighbor next door that would, if his trash gets knocked over by the javelinas, like mine has a few times, he would go out and pick it up and wouldn't let it blow into your yard, okay? The kind of guy who, if he sees you and your car won't start, he'll come over and give you a jump. The kind of guy that, you could, just a good guy to be around and helpful and so forth. And that he loved his nation and he wanted to see Messiah come in. But a lot of the Jews at that time thought Jesus would be a conquering Messiah, free them politically from Rome. establish that kingdom, earthly kingdom, and not the kingdom that Christ come to establish. A lot of people seem like that. And then in the course of his training, in the course of his life, his discipleship from the Lord, he become disillusioned. And from this disillusionment, that's where the betrayal stems from. Okay, other people seem just a flat-out evil man from the get-go, who was willing to sell our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, who was, the Bible says he was a thief. Okay, and so we have these opinions. I'll let you have your own opinion of him there. I'm not going to say. But let's go ahead and look at some things. I think we can see a little bit of both. Because there's a third opinion that I've become aware of. I don't subscribe to it, and that Judas was Satan. I don't believe that at all. I believe he's a man, right, just like you and I, who allowed Satan, because the Bible says it's Satan entering into him. Yeah. Well, Satan can't enter into himself, okay? So he was not Satan, okay?
That's right. He wasn't.
Either he was a good man to become disillusioned, or he was a flat-out evil man from the get-go. Well, maybe there's something. Maybe there's a middle ground where he was a good man with a sinful nature, just like you and I, who had a tendency for greed. And maybe we can from that we can see within ourselves some things to avoid. All right. That being said, we just named the 12 apostles. And wait a second. Was Judas Iscariot an apostle? Yes.
Yes, he was.
It says flat out, Jesus, right here, he was an apostle. Now, that's a high title, my friend. There's no apostles here.
That's right.
And by the way, those churches who think they have apostles don't have apostles.
That's right.
Because an apostle, the one requirement to be an apostle, you had to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. And I don't think they're that old. They might feel like it some days. I know I wake up in the morning, sometimes I might be a couple thousand years old. But if you did not see Jesus Christ walking on this earth, you cannot be an apostle.
That's right. Amen.
But he did, and he was called. He also had to be called by our Lord, because there's a lot of people that saw Christ walking, thousands of them, but he only called 12
yes, sir,
to be apostles. And Judas Iscariot was one of them.
Yeah.
And so he had this high name, but he had a problem, is that he did not have the character that went with the title. He shared in the notoriety. He shared in the fame. When the apostles went, other folks knew who they were. How do you think these apostles had access to Christ in a crowd of 5,000? Because they could just walk up there. Not everybody could do that, you know, because of the crowd, but they could. And, of course, they could do when he sent them out. Right after what I read here in Matthew is when he sent them out and they performed miracles. And Judas, as an apostle, took part in that, because he says later on they all came back and shared the miracles and the testimonies that they. And so he was given special power that you and I have not been given. And so he performed these miracles. He had a high name, but he had low character. He wasn't worthy of the position because he disqualified himself because of his lack of character. Okay? In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5, talks about the nobles would not put their... Well, we go ahead and turn there if you want. Or somebody turn there and read it for me. Brother Hall, could you turn there and read that for me? We have a lot of people in our country who look up to famous people as though because they are famous, they have something important to say. Nehemiah chapter 3. Verse 5. And just because somebody's famous doesn't mean that they're intelligent.
Right.
Just because people are rich doesn't mean that they are exceptionally smart. They could be, maybe, maybe not. But when they open their mouth and they spew out foolishness, you know, I might say something here might offend some of you, but if you would actually go back and look at some clips of what Oprah Winfrey has to say about God, you would recognize you don't want to be anywhere near her. She mocks Jesus Christ and Christians. We are fools in her eyes. Okay? And she said all this on her TV show. Okay, I'm not making it up. You can do some research if you want to. But just because somebody has a famous name, born into a famous family, doesn't mean that they have good character. You all know who Benedict Arnold is, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, which one am I talking about? The Benedict Arnold that you're thinking of was actually Benedict Arnold the Sixth.
Ah.
There was 5 Benedict Arnolds before him. His dad, his granddad, his great-dad, granddad, blah, 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 back 5 generations, all named Benedict Arnold. But which one do we know? The one that portrayed Washington and the American cause and the revolution. Famous. Notoriety. It doesn't mean they have character. How many politicians just elected to high office, they can't string 2 sentences together and make sense? And they vote for the stupidest things. You have Nehemiah? Can you read that for me, please? Okay, Nehemiah is a book about the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem, just to refresh your memory. And so Nehemiah, this section of the wall will be built by this group, this section by this group, this section by this group. And everybody went to work, except the nobles putting out their neck to the work. What does that mean? Well, they were too good to get down there and get dirty. You peons do the work.
Yes, sir.
We don't, because we're noble. They have a high title, they have a position, but they have no character. In many churches, now praise the Lord, here and other good churches we've been in, deacons have been some of the greatest asset in my ministry. When I was pastoring in Sierra Vista, the deacons were some of the greatest assets to my ministry. Here we have some great deacons who help our pastor the way they should. But there are other churches who the deacons fight against the pastor because they want to run things and not allow the pastor to fulfill his God-given leadership responsibilities in the church. You go back and look at the way the church is set up. It's God the Father, Jesus Christ, pastors, then deacons. What people want to do, many of those deacons want to flip that and be over their pastor. It doesn't work that way. Not in God's economy. Just because you are rich or famous doesn't mean you have character. Okay, I'm neither. I'm not rich or famous. I'm only good looking, right? Somehow, Brother Fred, I think they're laughing at me, not with me, okay? But here's the point. Being rich, famous, or good-looking doesn't mean you have any character. Okay, I don't qualify for that.
Right.
But I could qualify for having good character if I wanted to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
So could you, young man.
Yeah.
You could be a man known for your... And I only said that because you're sitting in front of me, amen? Okay? You could be a man known for your good, godly character. All 3 of you boys could grow up to be men that other men would look up to in the church and in society because of your good, godly character. Or you could just be the pastor's sons and be a louse. You have the title. You have the character. I'm not picking on them. I could pick on Brother Fred or this guy right here. Thank you, Brother Duffy. That's why I moved away. So deacons, good title, but are you a good man? Nobles, good title, but are you a good man? So stop looking up to celebrities. Some of these sports stars are the dumbest people. I mean, they are immoral. I mean, they are just wicked. And entertainers, you used to have a word for them. Can I say it in church? Some of these female entertainers? Yeah. We'll just say harlot. Use the Bible words. They dress like harlots. They act like harlots. They look like harlots. And they are famous for being a harlot. Doesn't mean they have any character. So don't be like them. Have the character. Then if a title comes, use the title as an opportunity to use your influence. Judas Iscariot had a title. He could have used it for good. But he didn't, because he didn't have the character. Okay? Now, he's also more concerned with money than he was about Jesus. In chapter 26 of Matthew 26. And verse number 8, Matthew 26 and verse number 8. This is a little bit of reading here, but let's go ahead. in verse 8. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose was this waste, okay? So here's when the lady anointed Christ, and they said, oh, man, that's a year's worth of wages there practically, and just wasted. How can you waste it giving it to Jesus? But that's beside the point. And they saw it as a waste. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation. Now, the disciples is plural. That's all of them there, or at least the majority of them. To what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
And so is the next sentence. But me ye have not always. Talking about physically on the earth. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she hath did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for memorial of her. Then one of the 12, guess which one it's going to be, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye, what's the next word? Give me. What will you give me, and I will deliver him to you. Now wait a minute, he'd just been complaining about the waste. That might have been sold. Wait a second. If that would have been sold, the money would have went into the treasury, right? Who was the treasurer?
Judas
Iscariot. You know that. And we also know what about him? He was a thief. Are you getting the picture here? He was upset that wasn't sold, because if it had been sold, the money would have been put in the treasury, and then he could have got his grubby little mitts on it. He definitely had a problem with money, because it's immediately after this is when he went to the Pharisees and bargained to betray Jesus for money. So he was more concerned about money than he was Jesus. He was driven by money. Now, this definitely points to him as being an opportunist. An opportunist is just somebody who's going to take advantage of the situation for their own good. Okay? Now, I'm an opportunist, and I believe in taking advantage of the situation. But we ought to take advantage of the situation to help further the cause of Christ, and not just to make money. I'm not opposed if you're a businessman, or even if you work a 9-to-5 job and you have a side hustle and you make money. I'm not opposed to that at all. And make all the money you can. Amen? Don't forget to tithe, okay? You know, and then you can use extra to give to missionaries and further God's work in other ways, and still live a comfortable life. But don't make money the driving force in your life. Like, why do you want to be an attorney, young person? To make a lot of money. No. We need some good, godly Christian attorneys in this world. So become an attorney so you can help people further the cause of Christ and still live a comfortable life. Okay? Don't choose a profession simply because you think you can make a lot of money at it. Choose a profession that you could make money at, but still use it to further the cause of Christ. Okay? And verse 23 shows us that he was a world-class hypocrite. And he answered and said, now this is after he made the arrangements to betray Christ, then they have the Passover, Jesus has the Passover with his disciples in verse 23. And he answered and said, now this is, Jesus said, when are you going to betray me? And all the 12, the other 11, have said, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? And he said, no, it's not you. No, it's not you. No, it's... And then in verse 23, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Now, did he know the answer? Did he know that Jesus knew the answer? Then why did he ask the question? So that he would look like one of the other disciples. All 11. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? He wasn't going to say, no, it's me.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was just a world-class hypocrite. Now, I can qualify for this pretty easy at times. How do you know if you're a hypocrite? Well, Are you one way at church and a different way at home? I'm not sure if I told you this in the past, because if I tell you the same stories, because I can't remember if I told you this or not in the past, because of my memory issues. But a pastor in a big Baptist church, without knocking doors one day, came across this guy and told him who he was, pastor of this church, and he says, oh, yeah, yeah. And somehow, as we do, we get talking, and they found out they knew somebody that worked at the same, it's a large company, but he knew one of the employees, one of this guy's co-workers. And then the pastor said, yeah, he's one of my deacons. And the guy said, deacon? I didn't even know he went to church. After working for 10 years at this, or how is a long time, after working for a lot of years at the same place, he didn't even know if he went to church. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. And here, this guy was a deacon. Okay? Wow. You know, one of the guys that would come down when they have the Lord's Supper and stand at the front, nice suit, clean suit, better fitting suit, and then administer the elements. One of the guys who would meet with pastor and make decisions for the church. One of the guys that people would look up to, maybe given some extra authority in the church, maybe as a deacon they would have an area of responsibility in the church to take care of something. Yeah, if you're one way at church and another way at home, then you're like Judas. You see, Christianity is meant to be lived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't put our Christianity jacket on and come to church.
Right.
Well, we shouldn't. Okay? We shouldn't comb our hair in a Christian style.
Right.
I don't know how you do it, but you get the idea. We don't dress up to impress the church membership.
That's right.
And look all pious and carry a big family Bible, which, you know, church, mm-hmm. and then go home. And on Monday, or on Friday, find you at the bar. And Judas knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was. So he's just making an obvious attempt to fool everybody else. Now, it is true that Peter denied Christ. Peter was a saved man. Peter was a good man. But he messed up. He did deny Jesus. But Judas didn't deny Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus. Besides, there's another obvious difference afterwards, in that Peter repented. Okay? How do you know he repented? Well, he cried. No, not necessarily. A lot of people can cry. Doesn't mean they repent. Judas cried. Okay? The difference is Judas' repentance was like if we went to the prison. All those men in there will tell you the same thing. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Let me out. Let me out early. If I could just get out early, I wouldn't do that. And yet we know from statistics that 80% of them are going to go right back in there. I heard something just a couple weeks ago on local news. I don't know where it was at. But this guy got out of jail and walked to the nearest 7-Eleven or Circle K like that. Robbed it and hijacked a car.
Whoa.
Flees. No, wait a minute. He hijacks the car there. Flees to another 7-Eleven. Robs it and hijacks another car. Crashes that and he gets arrested all in less than 1 hour after being released from prison.
Wow.
Now, we'd talked to him 2 hours before that. I'm sorry. See, there's a repentance. There's a sorrow for getting caught. There's a sorrow for the consequences of what your actions bring. And then there's a genuine repentance. Now, how do I know Peter repented? He got back in the ministry. We all sin. Sometimes it's grievous sin. I guess all sin is grievous. Some has more social consequences than others. Affects other people, hurts other people more. But we all sin. But don't be like Judas. I'm sorry for the results of my sin. Be like Peter. I'm sorry that I was such a lousy Christian that I denied my Lord. I am sorry for the very act, where Judas was sorry for the consequences. It might look like a subtle difference, but it's a real difference. We need to be sorry for our actions or our thought, whatever it might be, and not just the consequences. Hebrews 12 and verse 17 talks about another man who went out and he did something stupid and he was sorry about it. Talking about Esau. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. Look at the next sentence. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau cried and cried and cried and cried about what he had done, selling his birthright right to his brother. You know, how cruel is that? Your brother is famished, about to die. You know, well, I guess it's the other one that did that. That was Jacob one. That was cruel, man. That was bad. But he was sorry. Esau was sorry that he went ahead and went along with Jacob's plan. He was sorry that he for selling his birthright. The birthright was his. It wasn't Jacob's. You know, instead of talking about Israel today, we could be talking about Esau, the nation of Esau. But not. We're talking about the nation of Israel. Okay? Because Esau gave it all up for a bowl of pottage. I hope it was good lentil soup, because it wasn't worth it. But in all, with all his problems, Matthew 26 and verse 47, 26, 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And look at what Jesus says next. This is amazing. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now, if somebody had just betrayed you with a kiss, what would you say to them? Think about it a moment. If somebody just betrayed you, I bet your voice would rise. I bet your anger would rise. And be careful you don't punch them.
Yeah. Amen.
And yet Jesus said this. Friend, I believe with all my heart that Jesus really, truly loved Judas Iscariot. I know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why did Jesus die? So that we could have eternal life. But what propelled him? It was love. For God so loved the what?
World.
Was Judas Iscariot part of the world?
Yes.
Jesus loved Judas. Look, I mess up all the time. You mess up. You understand something. God loves you. It's hard. Sometimes you look at the circumstances of your life and you wonder, does God love me? And I don't have the answer for whatever is going on in your life. I barely can keep my own life together at times. And I don't know why God does what God does. I can definitely say that. I don't always know why God does what God does. There's a couple of things I know there. One, he is God. Amen. And when he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, was he lying? So whatever's going on in your life, as terrible as it might be, and we don't need to share that. We have praise times, amen. Talk about the good things. Well, sometimes we ought to have, good thing we don't have a murmuring time or complaining time, because we'd be here till midnight. We'd all be so depressed, we'd want to be like Judas, go out and hang ourselves. But no matter what's going on,
yes, sir,
God is still God, and God loves you, and His grace is sufficient. How's it all going to play out? I do not know. I do not pretend to have the answer. I'm not going to tell you the answer. But I simply know this. God is still God. And why He does what He does, there are times I really cannot, I do not know why. I just know this. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Now, in Luke 22, let me just read this to you. Luke 22, verses 1 through 3. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes thought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. We know for a fact that Judas was not saved. Okay, because we can see through this experience with Satan. There is no way, are you listening? There's absolutely no way that Satan can enter into a Christian. For the simple reason, and here it is. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves into your heart and takes up residence. And the Holy Spirit and Satan do not make good bedfellows. It isn't going to work. The darkness flees the light. The Holy Spirit lives within you, Satan. Therefore, it is physically, spiritually impossible for a Christian to be possessed by the devil. So if you are saved, and, you know, we have all different backgrounds, and some people, some of our superstitions from the past is, you know, boy, we start talking, well, Pastor, you made a joke about, was talking about demons. Remember how folks didn't like that lesson, that study on demons? And sometimes that gets a little close to home, and I've got some experience I could share with you that would that makes the back of the hair on my neck stand up, and probably would yours too, and I tell you some of these things. And some of us may have more experiences with demons than others, or at least we think we have, but one thing is certain, no matter what you think or believe, I'm here to tell you, the Satan, the wicked one, cannot enter into and physically possess a Christian. It's impossible. You'd have to kick God out first. And that ain't going to happen. So Satan entered into him, and there's no way Satan can enter into a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For in Adam all die, yet so in Christ shall all be made alive." When you were saved, you were born again. You were immediately given a new nature, and the Holy Spirit entered within you and takes up residence. And because I was saved, born again, baptized into the body of Christ, not physically baptized, not talking about that, but I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit immersed me in Christ at my conversion, the moment of my conversion, and same for you, I now am guaranteed by God never to be possessed by the devil. He can't do it. Now, he can't oppress me, and I can come under his influence, but it's from the outside, not from the inside. So you don't have to fear being possessed by the devil, but you better fear coming under his influence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And many people give themselves to be influenced by the devil by the activities that they take up, by the things that they do, by messing around with the occult. Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and you can laugh at me. I don't care. You know, I really don't care if people laugh at me much. If I was you, I would never, ever read your horoscope in the newspaper again.
Amen.
Oh, it's only funny. I just do it to see. Yeah, it's only funny, and you only do it. You know what's going to happen? One day, Satan's going to manipulate things, and what you read the newspapers is going to happen, and your eyes are going to be, maybe there's something to that. And then you start exploring that, and you can go ahead and laugh at me. God has told us repeatedly in the Bible not to seek to know the future.
That's right.
Over and over, these things are not for us to know. He said for you to know. These things are not for you to know. There are events in the future, in our lives, and God does not want us to know them.
Yep.
Personally, I'm kind of glad about some events in my life.
Yeah.
Man, if I saw them coming 10 years earlier, I'd probably went insane. But here's the point. We are not to dabble in the occult. And if you dabble in the occult with your Ouija board, I remember one year when Ouija boards, now they're not so popular now, but when they were all the rage, my sister was a teenager. I was just a little tyke then, and much skinnier. And we were at Grandma's house, and somebody gave my sister a Ouija board, and it started playing that, and Grandma walked through the room, "Get that out of here!" I'd never seen Grandma. She was the most mildest woman you've ever met in your life, loving and kind and gentle, a great cook, and everything a grandmother ought to be. But man, she exploded, and it caught my attention.
Whoa.
And she had to take that thing out of the car. She wouldn't let. Grandma was smart enough to know you don't dabble in the occult.
That's right.
You know what came out after that? Then they started to have that eight ball that you turn upside down, and then any, you seen them? Are they still around?
Yes.
Okay. And then people start messing with that, and then people start messing with the horoscope, and pretty soon they're going to find an oppression in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be physically possessed, but you can volunteer to be oppressed. Satan's going to attack you enough. Why invite him?
That's right.
He's going to try to ruin your life as it is. So why give him opportunities to do even more damage into your life? So don't dabble in the occult. Don't dabble in things like that. Go ahead and laugh at me. Make fun of me. I don't care. But I'm telling you, I'm warning you. Not to read. Oh, it's only a joke.
Yeah.
It's only for fun. No, it's not. No, it's not. And they've had these things, people noticed, or they've been talking a lot about, you know, these witches who put a hex on Judge Kavanaugh. Let me tell you something. Witchcraft is real.
So it is.
It's of the devil. I don't care what anybody else says, but it is real. And you can get yourself in such a position that you can, if you mess with this kind of stuff, that you can become dominated by Satan. Not controlled, but dominated.
Yes, sir.
Dominated is when you voluntarily give up the control and you allow him to influence you.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't worth it, folks. He's not your friend. And he's not going to do anything that's for your betterment or anything that's going to bring glory to Christ or help you and your family, help your family grow closer together and closer to God and all these sort of things. No, he's not the ruin. He's a destroyer. He's a liar and a destroyer. Don't be afraid of him, but be smart enough like Michael, the archangel. Don't be one of these idiots to go out there and shake your fist at the devil shows up. I'm going to give him what for right between his eyeball. No, don't do that kind of thing. You're inviting an attack. Rather say, the Lord rebuke thee and stand fast in the power of Jesus Christ and pray down God's power. I got just a minute. I was witnessing to a lady one time, me and a friend. I believe she was demon-possessed. I don't have time to go into it, give you the proofs. I believe she was demon-possessed. Well, when we prayed, I specifically prayed the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I said the blood of Jesus Christ, she just exploded with the most unearthly voice you have ever heard. Saying, "Don't say that!" It's real. Satanism is real. So don't mess with it. And if you do have to confront it, don't do it in your power. Get some good guidance from pastor. Get in your Bible and confront the devil. They overcame Satan how? By the blood of the Lamb. First, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You need to be saved. You need to be living right. And pray down the power of God. Satan can't possess you. Don't worry about that. But don't be such a fool because he can't possess you that you're going to go out and mess with things you ought not be messing with. And if temptation's right here, don't stand on the line. The best way not to fall into temptation is to eschew it like Job did. What does eschew mean? It means turn around and run. All righty. Oh, wait a second. I forgot a memory verse, didn't I? Let me find a long one for you guys. No. But what I want you to take from this is that here's, we had a man lost. I believe he could have been saved, but God loved him. And God wanted him to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Okay? But yet, he gave in to his own lack of character. And so, this might seem like a funny... verse for you to memorize. But let's make it Matthew 26:25. Let me explain my reasoning, and then I'll let you go. The verse is, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said to him, Thou hast said. Now, why do I want you to memorize that verse? Because of the question that he asked. Is it I? He asked it in sincerity. He knew it was him. He was a hypocrite. When we do business with God, we want to ask in sincerity. Is it I? Have I done this sin? Get God's guidance in your life. And be real. That's all I'm asking. Got your memory verse?
Amen.
26:25. And let's have a word of prayer and we'll ask God to bless the trees. Okay? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time and for this opportunity. We pray, Lord, please bless us. Help us, Lord, to take the components of the life of Judas Iscariot, to examine them and to be careful that we don't do any of these things. And then, Father, we thank you for being such a great and wonderful God who loves us and saved us. Lord, we want to thank you and thank the people who provided the treats we're about to have. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the treats to our bodies, and Lord, we pray that you'd bless the fellowship to our spirit, and I should be with Pastor and the other teachers around the building during the next hour to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and we are dismissed.